Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello, everyone. I'm Charlotte Spicer. Thank you for joining us. Do you feel powerless to change your life circumstances? Most of us do. Well, if you're an Oprah Winfrey fan, you may be familiar with today's guest. Bill Ferguson is here to explain how we can reclaim the power we've disowned and guide us to healing all areas of our lives. Welcome to the Spiritual Insights family, Bill. I'm excited to have you with us.
Well, hi there. I've been looking forward to being with you.
I appreciate that. There is so much to talk about, and this is our favorite topic. But I want to start from the beginning, Bill. I'm really fascinated by your story. You started out as a divorce attorney, and then you wound up helping not all couples, but many couples. You taught them about love and actually got a large percentage of them to stay together. Tell us about it. That's amazing.
Well, my focus as a divorce attorney was to have my clients heal their relationship, just one human being to another, because it made the legal work so much easier. You know, and it was also the best thing for everybody. And I figured that I could either be a peacemaker or I could be an adversary. And being a peacemaker was a lot more fun. And in the process of it all, I learned a whole lot about relationships and love. Mm-hmm. And also, one of the things I learned was that it only takes one person to heal a relationship. You know, when my clients shifted how they interacted with the other person, it changed how the other person responded in return. So what ended up happening was like 15% of my clients never divorced, and of the ones that did divorce, which was by far most all of them, virtually all of them were able to do it as friends.
Wow.
And that was great.
That's amazing. And so you say it only takes one person. So do you mean it just takes one person to be willing to make that shift in their mind and then the other person naturally responds?
Yeah, because you may not get the type of relationship you want with another person, but you can always have the love one human being to another. And when you have the love one human being to another, everything else takes care of itself.
Wow.
You know, I do a lot of individual work with couples, and I tell them, you know, don't worry about whether you're together or not, because some people shouldn't be together. What's important is to end the conflict, heal the hurt, and get the love back one human being to another.
Wow. I've never heard of a divorce attorney that actually cared.
Here's another thing that I learned that I saw as a divorce attorney. Was that on the surface was all the anger and the resentment and the upset, and always what was underneath all the upset was a tremendous amount of hurt. And also what I saw was that underneath the hurt was the love. We wouldn't be upset if we didn't care.
Absolutely.
But we do care.
Right.
So what became real obvious very quickly is that love never, 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 never is love enough to have a relationship work. The key to having a relationship work is the experience of love. If I interact with you in a way where you feel loved, our relationship will be great. And if I interact with you in a way that has you feel unloved, our relationship will be a disaster. So the presence or absence of love is always up to me.
Yes. And, you know, and we can be angry with someone and still feel the love and act in a loving way, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I started discovering all this as a divorce attorney, and I started learning about that it's really about creating the experience of love in relationships, and that's the key to healing relationships. And then I started seeing I started discovering what the experience of love was, and started seeing that the opportunity is to have that in all of our lives, not just our relationships. And then I started discovering a lot about, well, what creates it, and what is it we do that destroys that in our life? And it's just evolved over the years. So I've learned so much about what it is to be human and how it all works and how to create really great lives.
Right. So what does create it?
Well, first let's look at it. See, the experience of love is not a thing. It's a presence. It's an energy. See, at any moment, you're having a very particular experience of life.
Right.
You know, and whether you're in a state of upset, you're in the experience of love, you're embarrassed, or whatever it is, it's an inner state. And the inner state happens in a realm beyond words. There are
right.
no words that can accurately describe the experience you're having at any moment. It's like a chocolate chip cookie. You can very accurately describe a cookie as a thing, mm-hmm. but there are no words to describe the experience of eating one.
Okay.
So we do not experience life outside of us in the realm of circumstances. We experience it inside of us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
But since it's not a thing, we don't relate to it. We don't notice it. But it's how we experience life shapes our actions and determines what happens around us. And the experience of love is an inner state. And when that experience of love is present, and there are no words that you can use to describe it, but there's certain things that happen when it's there. When the experience of love is there, you're happy, you're alive, you're free, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about life. The circumstances of life have no power over you. You're very positive in your speaking, your actions, your thinking. You radiate that positive energy, and great things happen.
Okay.
And that experience of love is the essence of who we are. And as you bring that forth through you into your life, you're going to create an incredible life.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yes, the internal experience and how you relate. And so what crosses my mind, could we also apply this to a job and our relationship with money? Because I have experience with jobs that, you know, I hated it and all my thoughts were negative and it just got worse and worse. But then I had a job where I had to step up and create something and expand the department, and I fell so in love with the process, the creative process of doing this, that I loved everything about my job, and it just got better and better. There was the absence of conflict, resentment. Am I going in the right direction with this, Bill?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, here's a very important thing to notice, and that is that at any moment, what-so is what-so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the reality, and then there's our reality. In the reality, things just are. What happened, happened. What is, period. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Our reality consists of all the thoughts, the feelings, the emotion, the points of view, the opinions, the stuff. So there's mm-hmm. the truth, and then there's our stuff about it.
Yes, all of our perceptions.
It's our stuff is what shapes our actions and determines what happens in our lives.
Right,
and
gotcha.
And so the areas of life that work great are areas where you can flow with the truth. When you're at peace with what's so, you have peace in your heart. When you have peace in your heart, you're creative, you're resourceful, you see clearly. And in that state, solutions, opportunity, and possibility show up. So the areas of life that work great are areas where you can flow with whatever happens. The areas of life
create more of the same.
Exactly. It grows because you can create that experience of love, and as you create that experience of love, it grows.
Got you. Mm.
Yeah.
That's
so, So any area of life that isn't working, every area of life that isn't working, is an area where we're fighting the truth of something.
Right.
Something is the way that it is, and we're fighting it. And in the fighting of it, it destroys our ability to find solutions, and it forces us to act in a way that magnifies the problem.
How does it destroy the ability to find solutions? Could we have a little bullet list of just talk about it?
Well, let me give you an example.
Yes.
Okay, here's a cat, and that cat doesn't bark. I want
right.
it to bark, but it just isn't going to bark. I can yell at the cat. I can scream at the cat. I can rationalize with the cat. But no matter what I do, the cat isn't going to bark. That's the truth.
Yes.
When I can surrender to the truth, then I can put my focus on what do I need to do. Well, what I need to do is go get a dog.
Exactly.
See, that's where life works. Where life doesn't work is when instead of putting the focus on what do I need to do based on the facts, instead, all the focus is on fighting the facts. And then when I do that, all my focus is going to be on that doggone cat. I don't know what the problem is with that cat. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create a nightmare in my relationship with the cat. And since I've got all my focus on the cat, there will be no focus on getting a dog.
Which takes us to the core concept that we cannot change anything outside of ourselves, correct? It's the inner state that you're having the conflict with, not the fact that the cat can't bark.
That's right. If there's ever an area of life that isn't working, we're fighting the truth of something.
Yes.
And in our fighting the truth of something, we destroy our ability to find solutions, and we act in a way that actually makes everything worse very, very quickly.
And I'm seeing so many examples in my mind. But my question is, how do we... Like, what is the cycle? Are there steps? I'm a detailed person, so are there steps to say, you know, you have this going on, you see the conflict outside of you, you see the opposite of what you're trying to create. Are there steps to that cycle of conflict? And if so, then how do you end the cycle so that you can cultivate peace in your life?
Yes. Okay. So anytime you're in a state of fear and upset, anytime you're in the presence of an area of life that isn't working,
mm-hmm.
anytime you're in the presence of a self-sabotaging behavior pattern, anytime you're suffering, there is something that is in your life and you're fighting it. So first step is to identify, what are you resisting? What is the truth that you're fighting? What happened? What is the way that it is that you don't like? And then the second step is to look and see, okay, why can't I be at peace with the truth? That's the truth. Why can't I be at peace with it? And then what we'll see is that why we can't be at peace with the truth is because the truth hurts. It strikes a nerve.
Yes.
See, on the surface, we resist certain circumstances. But at a deeper level, we never, never, never resist the circumstances. We resist all the feelings and emotion that get triggered by the circumstances.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the next step is to find that hurt, heal that hurt, get that emotion out of you, get your peace back. And then
right.
when you get your peace back, then you can put your focus on, okay, given those are the facts, what do I need to do about it? And you take action.
What do you do?
And that's where life works.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all this absorbed in my brain, because I can see so many examples. So when you see that, what do you do to get peace?
Well, let's look at what the nerves are that get triggered.
Okay.
Okay, when we're born pure love. We're all
right.
born pure love, but
mm-hmm.
we're born into a world that kills it.
Yes.
So what happens is that in the process of growing up, every one of us collides with our culture. You know, we're born pure love, but we collide with our culture. We experience very painful losses of love. And as a little child, the only way we can explain these painful losses of love is to blame ourselves. Clearly, I'm the problem.
Yes.
And then we decide what that problem is. I'm not good enough. I'm not worth loving. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. I'm this, I'm that. And mm-hmm. it's never the truth, but in the eyes of a little child, in the moment of that deep hurt, it becomes our truth. And then we fight the very belief we created, which then magnifies it out of proportion.
Yes.
And in the, and then the more we run from it, the more we actually create it in our lives.
Because it's there.
Yeah.
So the only way to release it is to actually forgive and release those original experiences of lack of love.
Well, you, let me give you an example of how this stuff gets created.
Okay.
Years ago, I was in a department store, and there was a mother and daughter shopping. Little girl was about 4 years old, and she spilled her drink, which is something four-year-olds do.
Right.
And the mother got real upset, started screaming at her, saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so stupid?"
Yeah.
So how many times do you think it's going to be till this little girl believes it? Probably, you know, she'll hear it a few times, and it'll become the truth of the universe to her.
Yeah.
And then, and it's not the truth, but it becomes her truth, and then she takes it a step further and fights the belief that she created.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid is a horrible way to be, because if you're stupid, you'll never be loved. Look at my own mom. My own mom doesn't love me because I'm stupid.
Yes.
Stupid's the kiss of death. Nothing's more horrible than stupid. I can't be stupid. I got to be smart. So she'll spend the whole rest of her life running from stupid, trying to become smart. But no matter what she accomplishes, it'll never get be enough to get rid of that hurt. And if any circumstance comes along and hints that her mother was right, that she really is stupid, that circumstance will be perceived as a major threat to her survival.
Yes, that's a shame.
So, and that's, and every one of us has got that hurt. It's just that everybody's got a different hurt, but it's the automatic subconscious avoidance of that hurt that destroys our lives. Every relationship, every area of life that doesn't work, every self-sabotage and behavior pattern can be traced to the automatic subconscious avoidance of this hurt.
Absolutely. Automatic subconscious avoidance.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because this hurt is so threatening. Now, in reality, there's nothing threatening about it, because it's just a combination of thoughts and feelings. In reality, there's zero threatening about it. But subconsciously, it's perceived as a threat worse than death. Death is an easy out compared to feeling this hurt.
Yes. I would agree. So what do we do? Where do we go from here?
Well, you got to heal it. And the first thing is you got to find what it is.
Okay.
And then the second step is to do the opposite of what gives it power. See, what gives it... Let me back up.
Okay.
In looking for the hurt, it's important to keep in mind that you're not looking for the truth. You're looking for an emotion.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the truth. It's just an emotion. So like the little girl, to say that she's stupid has nothing to do with the truth, but it certainly has everything to do with the emotion.
The emotion associated with it, okay.
That's right. So the hurt is always going to be some form of feeling not okay, and it's never the truth. So if you look for the truth, you'll totally miss it. So don't look for the truth, look for the emotion.
Look for the emotion. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. And then one thing that, you know, we may get into is that it would actually be physically impossible for someone to be worthy, worthless, good enough, not good enough, because these things do not exist in reality. They only exist in our mind. You can search the whole world over for a good enough, and you'll never find one. And if you found one, what color would it be and how much would it weigh?
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because they're not things. They're thoughts.
Right. It's all inside you. Okay.
Yeah, here's another example.
Okay.
See, one of the most powerful ways that we create is by resisting. Whatever you resist, you're going to magnify and give power to. It's like physics. So an example. Imagine on the ceiling above you four large yellow balloons.
Okay.
Now, whatever you do, don't think about them.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
So notice
yeah.
what happens
oh
when you try not to think about them.
I feel like I actually have four balloons on my ceiling right now.
Yes. Yes. And the more you fight the yellow balloons, the more yellow balloons you get.
Got you. Wow. That's such an amazing way to put it. Okay.
But it's so true. Cause, and the same thing is true in every area of life. Whatever you resist, no matter what it is, you literally magnify and get power to it.
And create more of it.
And create more of it.
Another
example.
Okay.
Have you ever had a relationship with somebody and that person had a characteristic that you couldn't stand and you resisted that characteristic?
Of course.
Yeah. Notice what happens to the characteristic when you fight it.
They fought back.
Yeah, it grows.
And did it more. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, see, whatever the quality is in somebody that you resist, you're resisting it is not going to make it clear up. It's going to magnify it.
And made it, I can see so many examples, and what I'm seeing is when I resisted that characteristic in the other person, okay, so I'm giving that characteristic that bothers me my power. And
absolutely.
The more capacity that characteristic of that person had to get under my skin and keep me in
that's
a state
right.
of upset. Okay.
That's right. Because, see, when you're in the experience of love, the circumstances of life have zero power.
Right.
The circumstances of life never have power when you're in the experience of love. No circumstance has power over you. Never, never, never. Because mm-hmm. when you're in the experience of love, the circumstances are irrelevant.
Right.
The circumstances only have the power that we give them. And what gives our circumstances power is our fighting the truth.
Gotcha.
So anytime there's something under your skin, anytime there's an area of life that isn't working, anytime you're in a state of fear and upset, there is a circumstance that's there. It is there. That's the truth. And we're fighting it. And in our fighting it, we give it our power.
Gotcha. Wow. This is like psychology simplified. And we've kind of said this three, the same thing in three different ways. And the more you say it, the more I get it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nothing. Look at fear.
Okay.
Fear and upsets are both interstates. An upset is created by fighting a past or present event. A fear is created by fighting and resisting a future event. So if you and I have a relationship and I have a fear of losing you, I'm resisting the future event called losing you. The more I resist losing you, the bigger my fear. The bigger my fear, the more I'm threatened. The more I'm threatened, the more I get tunnel vision. The more I hang on, the more I act destructively, which pushes you away, which brings to me my fear.
And proves you right from the very beginning. Oh, wow.
Yeah, whatever you fear and resist, you will keep creating over and over and over again, forever.
Yes. With my students and my clients, I do some spiritual
counseling. And this is why each person has different areas of life that don't work. Because every area of life that doesn't work is an area where we can't flow.
Right.
So each person is resisting different things.
But the more you resist it, the closer you're coming to creating what you are afraid will happen.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And you're resisting it, you create it.
Yes. But I like the use of the word resistance. I think that it speaks volumes in that one of the best examples I can come up with, some of my clients, they're afraid their new relationship, their partner in the new relationship is going to cheat on them. And this is largely because the people before cheated on them. And
Yes. That
person's not planning to, but if you keep acting destructively and accusing them, eventually they'll either do that or leave.
Yes. Yes.
That fits in with what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
See, like, for example, in relationships, only certain people have an issue with rejection or abandonment. And why they have an issue with it is because they're going to have that deeper hurt of feeling worthless, not worth loving.
Right.
So anytime somebody rejects them or abandons them, then that hurt gets triggered. But they're not going to notice they've got a hurt triggered. All they're going to notice is the circumstances, the rejection or abandonment. And in their resisting that, they will forever create rejection and abandonment in their life, and it will keep showing up in their life over and over and over again, but it will not show up in the next person's life.
Right. Wow. Okay.
It's just fascinating how everybody has a different area of life that doesn't work. But that area of life, the area of life that doesn't work for one person is going to be totally different than the area of life that doesn't work for another person.
Mm-hmm.
But the areas of life that don't work for each person keep showing up over and over and over and over again,
mm-hmm,
because we create them. Life never, never, never just happens.
Right. It's always it always follows the law of cause and effect, and we are the cause, it is the effect, and the complexities of life seem so immense to our perception, but this really is a simple solution on how to reduce, eliminate the conflict in your life and cultivate peace in any area. Do you let's talk about the law of cause and effect.
Okay.
Since that came out.
Yes, and one thing I just want to mention is the book that I wrote, Get Your Power Back, and it goes into all of this in a lot more detail.
Yes, okay.
But I just want to throw that out.
I should have thrown it out by now. No, that's what we're here to discuss, actually, is your book, Get Your Power Back. My apologies.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is available now. Bill has an amazing array of amazing work, but Get Your Power Back will go into detail with everything we're discussing in this broadcast. But we'll give information on where to get it at the end of the broadcast, but please continue.
Yes. Okay, the law of cause and effect is just so very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
At any moment, we are totally, hopelessly at the effect of the world around us. No matter what happens around us, we're going to react. We're hopelessly,
mm-hmm,
at the effect. Well, what we don't notice is that simultaneously the world around us is totally, hopelessly at the effect of us. That makes us the cause. So at any moment, we're totally at the effect of the world around us, and we are the cause of the world around us, both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But we are the victims of our lives, and we are the creator of our lives all at the same time.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Wow.
But we only experience ourselves as being one or the other. When you experience yourself as being at the effect, you're powerless. You know, life is on top of you. And any time you're in the presence of an area of life that isn't working, any time you're in a state of fear and upset, you're at the effect.
Okay.
When you're at the effect, you lose your confidence, you lose your energy, you become very negative. And if you've ever been depressed, you were deep at the effect.
Yes,
so
I'm sure
at the effect
we've all
been there. Yeah, it's a very, very painful, destructive state.
Yes.
So now let's look at the opposite.
Okay.
Have you ever had a time when there was something that you were at the effect of, and it nagged at you, and it nagged at you, and then you reached a point where you decided, all right, enough is enough. I'm tired of messing with this. I'm going to handle it. And I don't care what it takes to handle it, but I'm going to handle it. I'm going to handle it now. And you started taking action to handle it.
When you got angry enough and got clarity from shifting your focus, I've been there.
Well, notice when you get to that place of, okay, I'm going to handle it,
mm-hmm,
then you get your power back.
Yes.
And you move from being at the effect to being at cause. And the circumstance didn't change, but now you're on top of the circumstance instead of the circumstance being on top of you.
Okay.
When you're on top of the circumstance, you're creative, you're resourceful, you see clearly, you're very effective in handling your situation.
You're powerful,
so that's,
in other words.
That's cause. Yeah, you got your power back. You got
your power back. Okay. Wow. Okay.
You see, and in that state of being at cause, when you experience yourself as being at cause, you've got you back. You got your power back. And that is the natural state. That's who we are without the junk. We're just naturally at cause.
Yes, at creative, powerful, causal forces, and acknowledging your responsibility for them. And am I right in saying that in reclaiming that power to and putting yourself in the causal, that you reclaim your power, and now you don't have the world on top of you anymore?
Yeah, that's where life works. And then who you are under the junk is not a thing. Who you are is not this identity called Bob or George or Sue. Who you are is that presence, that experience of love. Who you are is that energy of pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. That's who you are. And then as we bring that forth through us into our life, life works incredibly. See, who you are is what's created in the image and likeness of God. But we are so far, far removed from who we are. See, there's two different realms in life. There's the realm of the oneness, who you are, and there's the realm of circumstances.
Okay.
See, in that realm of who you are, you're happy, you're alive, you're free. And in that state of oneness, the circumstances of life are irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the experience of love. That's the realm of love, joy, peace, happiness, and miracles.
Okay.
Then there's the other realm where all the focus is on the circumstances. The experience of love is irrelevant.
Okay.
That's the realm of fear, upset, and suffering. That's called the darkness. The other one's called the light. One's called of the world. One's called the spirit. One's called, the oneness, the separateness.
Gotcha.
Somewhere in the Bible it says, I give you life, I give you death. Choose life.
Right. Okay.
They're totally separate realms. So you have the experience of love. You have the realm of circumstances.
Polar opposite.
You got the light, the darkness.
Yep. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, in that experience of love, in that state of oneness, the circumstances are irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the experience of love. Then there's the other realm of the world, and in that state, the experience of love is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the circumstances. And then in that realm, we are convinced that happiness and upsets come from outside of us.
Right.
So that's an illusion, but that's what we're taught. So then what we do is that we go through life trying to force the circumstances to be a certain way. We try to make people be a certain way. We try to force life to be a certain way, thinking it will somehow create the happiness that we seek, but it produces the exact opposite result.
Yes, it does.
It destroys love, creates more suffering, and instead of creating the happiness that we seek, it creates fear, upset, and suffering. So two totally opposite realms. And everything we're taught in the realm of darkness, everything we're taught to do in that realm of darkness creates more darkness. And everything we're taught to do in that realm of love creates more love. And the rules are exactly 180 degrees opposite.
Wow. Okay. It's so deep. You know, it's so deep and like I said, complex. But it's really that simple. Especially with the law of cause and effect,
And if you're looking, getting back to cause and effect, you can either live your life at cause or you can live your life at the effect. When you're living it at cause, you're on top of things. When you're at the effect, things are on top of you.
Yeah.
Well, the natural state is cause, but there's something that we do that puts us. That throws away our power. And what we do that puts us at the effect is fighting the truth of something.
Yes.
There's something that is in our life, and we're fighting it. And in our fighting it, We give it power. It does not have power in and of itself. But in our fighting it, we give it power. We give it power over us. We make ourselves the effect. And then when you're in that state, you destroy your ability to do anything about it. And it just makes for a very uncomfortable life, and it makes everything worse.
And you play the part of the victim all the time. And why, all these questions, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this?
Exactly.
And it's not deserving. Life is not about deserving or fairness. It's all about what we create it to be, right?
Yes, yes. See, and it's all about surrendering to the truth. It's all about surrendering to the truth. Because at any moment, what so is always, always, always what so, and our feelings are absurdly irrelevant. Now, our feelings will clearly affect our future actions, but our feelings don't change the truth.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
When you said, and I want to throw this out there. I'm gonna kind of open my heart and throw this out there, because with anyone listening, they might have had the knee-jerk reaction I just experienced. But when you said the word surrender, I became very afraid. And and I know I have that, and I know I've kind of worked this out in my mind, but I learned that when we're asked to surrender to something, I learned that to surrender is not to submit to something more powerful than you, making yourself more of a victim or enslaved in your mind or imprisoned. To surrender, I learned, was to let go of the struggle and allow life to unfold rather than submit to a perpetrator. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Exactly, because you get your power in surrender.
That's when you're in control. It's when you're trying to control everything outside of you that you're out of control. You've lost
it. Yes. I do a... In the programs that I do with people, I ask people a question. How many of y'all have ever had a time in your life where there was something you were resisting and you resisted and you resisted it, and then you reached a point that for whatever reason you just said, oh, the heck with it. Whatever happens, happens. I'll deal with it. You let go of the resisting. And then everybody raises their hand.
Yeah.
And then, we look at what happens. Well, the first thing that happens, and this is universal, this is across the board with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that happens when you let go of the resisting is you get your peace back.
Yes.
You get your peace back. You see things better.
You're not upset
anymore. The fear and the upset, the turmoil disappears.
Right.
Because the fear, the upset, the turmoil is not created by the circumstances. It's created by the resisting. Okay. The second thing that happens is everything looks different. Everything looks different because the tunnel vision is gone. So instead of having 3 degrees of possibility, we now have 360 degrees of possibility.
Because that hyper-focus on the negative is now gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
The tunnel vision. Wow.
It's gone.
So the then I ask people,
what happens to that area of life when you stop fighting it? And then the response is across the board. It's the same thing. It starts clearing up.
Yes.
See, life always, always, always works when we can just get the ego out of the equation.
Absolutely.
Life always, always, always works when we can let go and flow.
It's just so hard to get there sometimes.
Well, it's hard to get there because, for one thing, this is not what we're taught. We're taught you want something, you fight, resist, you hang on, withdraw, but we don't see this. And then the other thing is that we fight the truth because it hurts. It strikes that nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, as long as we have that hurt, our life is going to be about, as long as we have that hurt, any circumstance that triggers it is going to be perceived as a major threat to our survival, and we're forced to fight, resist, hang on, withdraw, which makes everything worse.
Right.
So the hurt propels us into the world of circumstances.
Yes.
So the more you're able to heal that hurt, the more you're able to flow with life, the more you're able to flow with life, the more you're able to live in that experience of love. And then in that experience of love, life is wonderful. It is possible to create a life more wonderful than anything you could possibly imagine.
And I do believe that.
Yes, because it's inherent in who we are, but it's not inherent in what we identify ourselves to be, which is the ego.
Right. But so how do we overcome the ego's perception that, like I just said, that, you know, sometimes it's just really hard to get there? How do we overcome the ego's perception that it is hard in the first place when all we have to do is shift our perception, change our minds, and then watch the changes unfold? Tell us how to get there.
Yeah, because obviously that's a whole lot easier said than done. obviously. So there's a number of steps. There's a number of steps. I just thought about this morning. It's like five steps to bliss.
Okay.
You know, the first step is you got to expose the illusion. You got to see what's going on. You got to see things the way they really are.
Clearly.
The second step is you got to heal that hurt.
Okay.
You got to heal, and we'll talk a little bit about how do you find and heal that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third step is you got to have an awakening. You got to get grounded in who you are, which is that state of pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. Knowing that isn't going to change a thing. But once you get the profound truth of that deep in your heart, it changes mm-hmm. everything.
Right.
And then once you have that awakening, the next step is to take action. To take action to go, you know, you want to go full speed in handling, you want to go full speed in going for your dreams. You want to handle the things in your life that pull you out of the light. You want to take action. You need to handle your life.
Yes.
And in that fifth step is to seek a connection with Source. You can call it God. You can call it love. You can call it spirit. I mean, difference what you call it. But,
right.
But in the seeking of that connection, you tap into a power much greater than who we are.
Right. Oh, wow.
So, like, those are the steps. And here's another way of saying this. You have the two realms. You've got the light and the dark.
Yes.
But another way of looking at it is instead of two realms, you could say it's two directions. So over here is the light, and you can call it God, you can call it spirit, the experience mm-hmm. of love. It doesn't make any difference what you call it. But the closer you are to that, in that state, life works incredibly.
Yes.
But the further you get from the light, the more you enter the darkness. In the light, the circumstances are irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the experience of love. And in that experience of love, the circumstances fall right in line. But then you get into the darkness, and in the darkness, all the focus is on the circumstances. Only the circumstances matter. The experience of love is irrelevant. And then in that state, we go through life trying to force people in life to be a certain way, destroying love and creating more suffering.
Yes.
So in growth, we have a choice as to which direction are we going to go.
That's what I wanted to say.
The direction of our whole culture, which is towards the circumstances, or you can have it be about going towards the light.
Right, but most of us see light versus dark as situations or places. I like how you say it's not a place, it's a direction you're going in, and you get to choose which direction you're going in.
That's
in
right.
In any area of your life.
That's right. And the more you live in that experience of love, then the circumstances of life are wonderful. See, there's this narrow path. You live this narrow path, you're going to have a life of miracles. But then when
right.
you go off the path, life is going to start knocking you back onto the path.
Yes.
So it's like the more you run from worthless or not good enough, life is forever putting it in your face.
Yes.
You see, but it's putting it in your face to heal it.
Because it's there. Yes. And
yes.
As soon as you reintegrate the power of love, you have the power to change any aspect of your life.
Exactly.
And any
so, and when you live in that
healing.
State, life works. When you get off of that state, it doesn't work. So it's life is always trying to knock us back, push us back to that state of love.
Yes.
See, but we don't listen to it.
It feels that way because, you know, okay, we all have, if everybody listening, come up with an example in your life where life knocked you back, and then instead of saying, where is the opportunity to heal in this, it's, I can't believe this is happening again. And
exactly.
It really is telling you, would you please look at this and let it go? Over and over,
yes.
These patterns emerge in our lives.
Yeah, because difficult times are part of our divine choreography. Difficult times are brought to us. They are brought to us for our healing and our growth. Difficult times put our issues in our face so that we can heal them. And, of course, until we heal them, life's going to keep putting them in our face.
Absolutely.
Difficult times force us to look at things that we would otherwise never look at. But we need to look at them, but we wouldn't look at them unless we were forced to. Difficult times kick us out of the nest. Difficult times get us ready for our future.
Yes, they do.
You know, I look at my life, and I look at the times in my life that have been the most painful, and every single one of them has been followed by something great. And I wouldn't have gotten something great had it not been for the difficult time that preceded it.
Right.
You know, so one of the keys in life, one of the keys in being able to flow with life is trusting. But it's not trusting that life's going to turn out like we want. It's trusting that no matter what happens, we'll be fine.
No matter the outcome or what it looks like.
No matter what happens, we'll be fine. Because sometimes life doesn't turn out like we want.
No, it doesn't.
My brother said something to me once that was so great. He said, you know, looking at it in terms of spirituality, said that what really matters is not what's outside of us. What really matters is what's inside of us. So we're constantly being brought what we need for inside of us rather than what we want outside of us.
That is an undeniable truth that I wish I could say wasn't the case.
Yes.
Oh, my. But the way you say it is so simplistic and digestible. It's just amazing how much you can pack into a statement. I just so
well, and you can't argue with this stuff once you see it.
You can't. I know. I suspect ultimately
that all of life's lessons are brought to us ultimately for no purpose other than to teach us to trust.
Yes.
Because
I surrender to everything you're saying, Bill.
Because the more you trust that you'll be okay no matter what happens, the more you're able to let go, the more you're able to flow, and in that state of peace, you become very effective because you can see what you need to do. See, effective action can handle a situation. Resisting will magnify it.
Absolutely.
Resisting is an inner state.
Yes. Makes it worse, makes it bigger. Mm-hmm.
Makes it bigger. So the more you're in that state of peace, you know, life just works incredibly.
Yes.
And I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't. It doesn't matter. It's all. I just want to sit and marinate in it, my Lord. But I do have. I do have a note here to ask you, with regard to relationships. I'm sure are relationships the. When with your, I know you teach workshops in Houston, and you do a lot of stuff, and I want to talk about that in a bit, but would you say that relationships are the number one question you're asked? Are you asked about jobs or money or food, or people's relationship with food, or do you get all of the above, or are relationships the number one issue on people's mind when they come hear your talk?
Well, most people that come to me are suffering in some aspect of relationships.
What would be the best way to empower or feel empowered in a relationship to get things back on a more even keel if there's an issue or two to deal with?
Yeah, so let's look at relationships.
Okay.
So in relationships, the thing that matters is not the love. What matters is the experience of love.
Okay.
If I love you but I treat you lousy, my love for you is worthless.
Yes.
So if I want my relationship with you to be great, I need to make sure you feel loved. So
okay.
The key to having love in your relationships is to make sure the people in your life feel loved. Now, and incidentally, what it takes to create the experience of love in a relationship is exactly the same whether you're talking about a relationship with another person, whether you're talking about a specific aspect of life, or you're talking about your relationship with you, because it's all the same. It's about relating.
Okay.
What creates the experience of love is giving the gift of acceptance and appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's say you and I have a relationship.
Okay.
Well, if I can genuinely accept you and appreciate you just for who you are, just the way you are, how does it feel?
Totally peaceful.
Yeah, it feels great. You feel empowered. It creates that experience of love. Your walls come down around me.
Uh-huh.
You feel appreciated. And then automatically, how do you then feel towards me?
The same.
You see how automatically you return it?
Yes. I want to give it right back.
Just automatic. And it's not something you think about. It's like physics. You give love, love comes back. And then I feel empowered. I feel better about myself and my life. And then I feel better about you, and you feel better about me, and I feel better about you, and you feel better about me. And then we create this cycle of loving, supporting, and empowering each other that brings out the absolute best in everybody.
And creates what you've always wanted all your life to begin with.
Yes. Yes.
But let me ask you a question. Say you have that, and then it starts to get a little rocky, and you're doing your best to make someone feel appreciated and loved and valued, and suppose, like, my husband...
Yeah, but under our breath, we're not coming from that place of acceptance.
Right.
So, have you ever had somebody in your life that's very difficult to accept?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay, well, take a look at that person and notice, isn't that person exactly the way that person is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the truth. See, what giving acceptance is, what creating love is ultimately nothing more than being at peace with the truth.
Okay.
It's surrendering to the truth, being at peace with the truth of the way somebody is.
Okay.
And being at peace with the truth, with the way somebody is, doesn't mean you got to live with them. You can let them be the way they are somewhere else.
I got you. I'm picturing so many people I know that are struggling in relationships, trying to keep it together, bending over backwards to the point of self-sacrifice, which is what I warn people against, and pouring their energy into something that just doesn't return it.
Yeah, it's selling your soul, trying to make something happen, but it isn't going to work.
And that's when you walk away?
Well, the number one biggest killer of relationships, by far, the number one biggest killer of relationships is not being at peace with the truth of the way somebody is. It's also the number one biggest killer of life. When you can't be at peace with the truth of the way somebody is, you're going to make everything worse. And it's true in life, and it's true in relationships.
Yes.
So you're you. Well, I'm not at peace with the truth of the way you are. You need to change. What's your problem? What is the matter with you? Then I become non-accepting, judgmental, and critical. And then as I give that non-acceptance to you, how does that feel?
It's just a perpetual same thing. If you're offering love and acceptance, and that's reciprocal, energy is circular, that's going to come back. And if I'm resentful, that's going to come back to me as well, and it's just going to get worse from there.
Exactly.
Right. So it either gets bigger.
Yes. So every time you interact with another person and with life itself, you're either going to create love or you're going to destroy love, and whatever you give is going to come right back. So as I become non-accepting towards you, you get hurt, you get upset, you put up your walls of protection, and then automatically you then give it back to me. Then I get hurt, I get upset, then I give it to you, you give it to me, I give it to you, you give it to me. And it's back and forth like a tennis volley.
Yes, but augmented with each time you send it back, the ball's a little bigger, then when they send it back, the ball's a little bigger and gets bigger and bigger because you chose the direction of the darkness instead of the direction of the
exactly.
light. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So if I can bring the light to the relationship and let you be you, which you're going to be anyway.
Right.
By fighting the way you are doesn't change the way you are.
No. Ask if you think you can change anyone outside of you and make them be who you want them to be, it's impossible. If you don't believe me, go ask your parents.
Yes.
If you don't believe me, go ask your parents if it's possible to make someone turn out or be who you want them to be. It cannot be done. The change has to occur in you first.
And the more you try to force it, yes. And the more you try to force it, the worse it gets.
Well, you're going to force them right out the door.
Yes.
Okay. So.
And in,
oh,
and in re-
my so
in,
goodness.
So in relationships, the thing that's so important is to surrender to the truth of the way the person is. Because if you can't be at peace with the truth of the way somebody is, your relationship is doomed. You're going to create a state of upset, which is going to destroy your ability to see clearly. You're going to magnify whatever the qualities are that you're resisting. You're going to give that person total power over you. You're going to destroy love with every breath. You're going to create opposition and resistance against you. And you're going to destroy your ability to see what you need to do.
Yes. True. Let me ask you one more question, and then I really want to talk about your work and your what you offer to the world, which is extensive, I must say. When I met my husband, I had a perception in my mind that I wanted, you know, a relationship. I had ended several that just were not what it wasn't what I was trying to create, and I wasn't getting that back. And I said to him, I just want a relationship where I get back all that I give. I want a 50-50. And he said to me, it's not 50-50. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I believe it's 100% at all times. Do you agree with that?
Oh, that's so profound. Yes, because relationships are not 50-50. They're 100-100. It's how I am towards you determines how you're going to be towards me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm loving, accepted, appreciative, you're going to react one way. If I'm judgmental, critical, resentful, you're going to react in another way. Literally, however I am towards you determines how you're going to be towards me, which makes me 100% responsible for the presence or absence of love, and you are 0%. I'm cause, you're the effect. And, of course, the other side of the coin is also there, because it's however you are towards me determines how I'm going to be towards you, which makes you 100%. I'm 0%. You're the cause. I'm the effect. So in relationships, everybody's 100% responsible for the presence or absence of love. But that's not what we're taught. What we're taught is that there's only one responsibility. Either you're the problem or I'm the – there's only one problem. Either it's you or it's me or we cut it down the middle. And I look to see where the problem is, and it becomes obvious where the problem is. It's the other person. It's you. And here's the trap that keeps us stuck. Whenever we're blaming, we're telling the truth. Everything we say about the other person being the problem is dead on accurate. That's the truth.
Say that again. When you're in a state of blame, you're actually telling
the truth. Yeah, so if I'm blaming you, I'm pointing at you're 100%. And you are 100% responsible.
But is there a matter of projection going on there, you know, with the blame? And usually what you don't like about the other person is what you don't
absolutely.
Like about yourself?
That's why I'm blaming. But the thing is about blaming, what we're saying in our blaming may be accurate.
Okay, gotcha.
See, we may be totally accurate in that the other person is 100% responsible because that's the truth. Like you and I have a problem in the relationship, and I blame you. Well, I'm pointing at you 100%. You are 100% responsible. It's just that whenever I blame you, I give you my power.
I got 200%. Okay, so I'm 100%
because
responsible.
Because as long as I'm blaming you, I'm stuck.
Okay, but I'm 100% responsible for the situation, and now I have another 100. Let's talk in terms of dollars. I got $100 that says I'm to blame, and now I have another $100 to say I have the power in this circumstance. Because you just gave it to me, right?
Yes.
You just gave me all your power.
Yes. So where I get my power back is to stop looking at you and look at me.
Exactly.
So when I can, see my role in the problem, I can do something about it. When I focus on your role in the problem, I magnify it.
So when you look at yourself, you now resume 100%, but when you focus on the other person, you're giving it to them, leaving you at zero. So if you
want
to keep your 100%.
Let's look at the cycle of conflict. A cycle of conflict cannot exist with one person. In order to have a cycle of conflict, there must be two active participants. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yes.
As long as I'm focusing on you, I've got no power in it. But if I want to end the cycle of conflict, I've got to end the cycle of conflict. I can't rely on you. I've got to do it. So when I focus on me, that gives me the power to resolve the situation. When I focus on you, I'm blaming and fueling the situation.
Yes, and magnify. Wow, that is amazing.
And it's the same thing is present in every single area of life. The areas of your life that work great are areas where you take responsibility for the result. The areas of life that don't work are areas where we don't.
Wow. Well, I think that there are millions of people out there who are pushed by life to the point. We've all been through a lot of changes over recent years, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I tell my audience, if you made it out of 2010 alive, you're doing okay. But I think everybody's ready to make that change. I think they're ready to change their minds and change their lives. So let's talk about what you have to offer to help them do this and finally get a grasp on what is not working, turn us around, and get their power back. Let's start with the book, Get Your Power Back. What can they hope to achieve by reading that?
Okay. Well, the book covers all the things that we've been talking about today.
Okay.
And in the book, you end up seeing how it all works, because the more you can see how it all works, the more you can see what's going on, the more you get power over it.
Okay.
Because it's going on whether you see it or not. So the more you can see what's going on, the more you get power over it. The other thing it does is it walks you through the process of finding and healing the underlying issues that create all of our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because that stuff can get healed, because it's not based on fact. It's something that we got added as a child and magnified. So what the book does is it walks you through the healing process.
Okay.
Which is huge.
That is huge.
And in the process of that, you get back at cause, you get your power back in life. And you become 1,000 times more effective in handling your life.
Absolutely.
So, and it just walks you through the steps. It just shows you how to do it.
Practical steps, easy to do, if you're willing to surrender and be willing to change it. Okay.
Well, but it shows you how to do all that.
Excellent. I'm going
to get
that.
It's a real easy read, and it's the type of thing that you just can't argue with it once you see it.
Okay. And your other books that you have available, tell us about those.
Yeah, there's two other books I have. One of them is called How to Heal a Painful Relationship, and that's about how do you end the cycle of conflict. And that's the book that I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show for.
Okay.
And then the third book, Miracles Are Guaranteed, it's about how do you live in the light? How do you have that experience of love everywhere?
Okay.
So there's the three books, and you can go to the website. I've got a number of websites, but the main one we have is masteryoflife.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of really great articles on it. And the site itself will show you a lot of the main steps for how to have your life be great. It's a real powerful website.
I reviewed it extensively because the minute I got there, I was hooked, because when you go to masteryoflife.com, when you go to Bill's website and even his other websites, which they are on the show page, BillFerguson.com, when you go there, there is a wealth of information. There are free articles. There are so much is offered that are free. You are so giving of your time, your knowledge. You offer teleseminars, books, CDs, and audio. You have a free audio course. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, it's an e-course, and it walks you through the steps of literally transforming your life. And you get it's a short read with action to take, but it's a real each lesson is a real profound insight. And you work with that, and you see immediate results in your life. And then a week later, you get another lesson, and another lesson, and another lesson. And it does two things. One thing, it walks you through the process of literally transforming your whole life. But the other thing it does is it's a weekly reminder of who you are, which is a very important thing to have when we live in a world that sucks us out of who we are.
Yeah, the fast pace and can really do that to you.
Yeah, and it's
first
an
thing,
ongoing
first thing
course.
Monday morning. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, an ongoing course, and it doesn't cost anything. And you can go on the website and sign up for it. And also, we've got a newsletter you can sign up for. And then also, I do individual work with people by telephone and in person. And if you're in the Houston area, we have lots of workshops and programs for people to support them in their lives.
Excellent.
And it's all about showing people how to heal inside, how to resolve problem areas, and how to create incredible lives.
It's amazing. And okay, so that I correct myself. That was the free e-course. But in addition, there is another product, which is an audio course, which you can go to the website and find out all about. But I want to demonstrate.
Yeah, that's got 10 CDs and a workbook, and that walks you through the process also.
There you go. I mean, you know what? This would make a great gift basket for Christmas if you have someone in your life that's really, things aren't working out too great. Perhaps you should get a nice basket and get Bill's products and help him out a bit for Christmas. Save a life, prevent a suicide, give them his material. But I want to demonstrate how powerful this is. In 2002, Bill, you founded Stop the Conflict, a program that is now used by family law courts to take the conflict out of divorce. Tell us about this. What did you do?
Oh.
It's remarkable.
Well, it's basically a program where people see what's really going on, because the problem areas of life are never, never, never the problem. They're the symptom. And once you see that, then it changes how you relate. And what ended up happening is, and these are the people that are in the divorce process would come to the program, and we did a survey for 6 months where we did a survey for each person that did the class, and then we measured the results. And what ended up happening was people's taking responsibility for their situation increased by something like 77%. Because once you discover your role, once you see your 100%, once you see what's going on, then you can start turning things around.
Yes.
But the key is to take the focus off of the circumstances and put the focus on the inside. You see, and to create a great life, you still have to take action. See, letting go and flowing doesn't mean do nothing. Letting go and flowing is what removes the fear, upset, and tunnel vision so that you can see what the action is you need to take. You have to take action.
Yes.
But the trick is to be able to see what the action is you need to take. And when we're in a state of fear and upset, we're looking in the wrong direction.
Yes, I'm picturing a whole bunch of people in a courtroom waiting for the divorce hearing and playing the victim, and this person did this, they did all this, and I'm the victim, and they don't want to see their contribution to the conflict, but once they do this, then they can peaceably, if you need to part, then you need to part, but then you can do it peaceably.
Yes, I've had two divorces, and one of them was incredibly painful and destructive, and the other one was loving and supportive. The loving and supportive divorce, it took us 5 minutes to do our property settlement.
Really?
Yeah.
Is
that's all
you
it took
personally?
Because we had that experience of love.
And this is you personally or client?
No, this is me personally.
Wow.
Because, you know, we were together for 15 years, and people change.
Yes.
And she went in a direction that I couldn't go, and for me that wasn't grounds for divorce, but for her it was.
Okay.
And so we just recognized that, hey, it just doesn't, being together just isn't what we need to do anymore, and we went our separate ways, but the love never, never, never faltered.
God, well, I'm glad for that. I'm really glad for both of you.
Yeah, because you see, not everybody. See, some people shouldn't be together.
Yes, that crossed my mind a minute ago. You know, some people get married too early. Some people marry the person for the wrong reason. Some people have a different perception of marriage. People make mistakes. You want to go in with this with eyes wide open. But when you realize that maybe you did choose the wrong person or get married for the wrong reason, a lot of people get married because of pregnancy, which I say you give it time.
Yep.
But, you know, if you come to that conclusion that this isn't going to work out, there's no reason to attack and belittle and tear people apart. It just makes the world a worse place to live in, you know.
We talked earlier about the cat that doesn't bark. Well, the cat just doesn't bark. And how silly it is to hate and resent the cat because it doesn't bark. Hating and resenting the truth is crazy.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But that's what we do.
It's amazing. Well, your work is amazing. You have taught us so much just in this 1 hour. I can only imagine what a seminar with you is like. And I think I will take your free e-course, and I'll look forward to receiving your newsletters. And please promise to come back to the show and let us know what you're up to, if you have any new projects or if you're going somewhere in the country and people would like to gather around you and learn together. It would be wonderful.
Well, great. I would love that. And I so, so much enjoy being with you.
Thank you so much.
You're very delightful and you're incredibly wise.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know. I try. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is Get Your Power Back by Bill Ferguson. Go to the website, masteryoflife.com, billferguson.com, relationshipseminars.net. We have all this wonderful information. This course will profoundly change the way you live your life, especially the Mastery of Life audio course. It's a step-by-step process for having the life you want using 10 CDs and a workbook. That should give you plenty to do, and then you can step into your new life. Bill, thank you once again for sharing so much of yourself and for being part of the Spiritual Insights family.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the next time we get to talk.
I appreciate that. Okay, folks. Well, that is our show. Please tune in. Have a wonderful day. God bless and be at peace. Bye-bye, everyone.